Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, let's do a little golf here. NBC Sports golf analyst Mark Rolfing. He's on site. He's in Chicago getting ready for the BMW Championship. NBC has it. And he is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. A couple of things to hammer through. Mark, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
I am really good, and I think golf fans around America are going to be happy. You know, I just spent some time with Tiger in the clubhouse. He is on the property. He looks really good. He's feeling good. And great to have him here. There was a lot of question mark as to whether he was actually going to play or not, but the answer is he is.
Okay, that's good news. A lot of questions around Tiger, no doubt. When you pull out of a pro-am and all you do is chip and putt for the back nine and then have to withdraw after a ghastly, whatever it was, 75, 76, after what happened at the Open Championship over at Royal Portrush, the concerns were legitimate. And the quote that I saw, Mark, "I thought I'd give it a go," end quote. Now, I'm certainly going to take your word for it, but that doesn't seem to be a real ringing endorsement of his health. I mean, I feel like you drew an overly rosy picture of Tiger Woods.
Yeah, you know, I think this is what we're going to see from Tiger in the future. I think it's going to be hit or miss. I don't think he's going to have long stretches where he really feels good a lot. It was clear to me at Portrush for the Open that he wasn't ready there. I think, you know, his situation is going to be, you know, very situational. How about that for a statement? I think we all got a little bit overzealous after he won the Masters, and pretty soon people were talking about, oh, he's going to break Jack Nicklaus's record again and everything else. I hope we all just kind of can enjoy what he accomplished there at Augusta. It's always going to be easier for Augusta because he can play that place in his sleep. He knows it like the back of his hand, and he doesn't have to work hard to learn a golf course. And he is just not going to be able to practice that much and play as much in the future as he has been in the past.
Yeah, and Mark, that's the key part right there. I think everybody's wrapped up, and understandably so, when you have fusion surgery, which is incredibly invasive, and you're a golfer and it's your back, your health is going to be micro-analyzed on every level. But I think what's probably more important, or at least as important, is the inability to stay sharp. I mean, he just can't get out there. He can't beat balls on the range. His timing, his touch, everything. You know, it's all a sequence, a good, beautiful golf swing. And if you can't practice, you can go out there and shoot a 75, which would be nice for most of us hacks, but you simply can't win at this level. And I don't know how this changes the rest of his life. Without sounding overly dramatic, how will he possibly practice when he doesn't know day-to-day what his back is going to yield?
Well, it's interesting, too. You know, when you have back issues, and I've talked to a number of players about this, the hardest shots on your back are chip shots and putts because of the position that you have to get yourself in. And so the tendency, I think, is going to be for Tiger going forward and not spend as much time on his short game chipping and putting, because that's going to have the most discomfort for him with the back issues. And so, to me, that is problematic. The other issue is, if you take a look at when Tiger started the comeback a year and a half ago, the first few months that he was out back on the PGA Tour, his swing speed was number two. He was swinging the club 130 miles an hour and hitting the ball a mile. He is now, after a year and a half, all the way down where he's barely above average. I think he's right at average in terms of swing speed. So he really has lost distance. He's lost power over the last year and a half, and he's going to have to play a different kind of a game. When he's won two PGA championships here at Medina, he was basically able to overcome and overpower the golf course. He's not going to be able to play it that way this week.
I like how you lean on the numbers, too, because I've referenced, you know, the ball speed, the swing speed. When he first came back after the fusion, as you documented, I mean, he was crushing the ball. He was hitting it on the screws, and now you could tell that the numbers are dropping. So the science of the math is not misleading. It is what it is. We're talking about Rolfing here, NBC Sports, Medina, getting ready for the BMW Championship, Tiki and Tierney. All right, the big story here is pace of play. and everybody interprets this differently. Before, I can't really ask you questions until I know where you stand. Was it an overreaction this weekend with Bryce DeChambeau, or was it fair? Let me. Where do you stand on this stuff?
I think it was fair. It's a big problem, and not just at the highest level of the game. It's a problem, you know, throughout all levels of the game, and that's one of the reasons why we're not seeing the game of golf grow the way it should be, because people simply don't have the amount of time that they've had in the past. I hosted an event last night here at Medina with Justin Rose. We did a little fireside chat for about 45 minutes, and he's been pretty vocal about the slow play issue, as you know. And the interesting thing about it is it's not a new problem. It's just come to light primarily because of this PGA Tour Live, this new golf that you're seeing, PGA Tour Live, where basically they only show two groups of players in an entire golf tournament. So when you focus on only two groups, you're going to see everything they do and how long it takes. Normally, the public would not see how slow the play is because the producers of NBC Golf or Golf Channel would never show it. That it's only coming to light now, even though it's been a problem.
Okay, so not only with the live aspect and focusing on the two power groups, but I mean, this is common sense, social media as well. I mean, you know, if one player says one thing that's interpreted as, you know, as a shot at Bryson DeChambeau or somebody else who's historically slow, it's going to gain traction and it's going to be put out there and shoved down our throats. But to my understanding, Jack was pretty slow. I mean, Jack Nicklaus was not quick around the golf course, but guys may have complained about it over a scotch, but there was no outlet, no vehicle to let the whole world know about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, had there been social media back then, I think he would have gotten roasted. I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm starting to sense, and there's been a lot of talk about it around Medina today, is the sponsors are going to start coming down on their players. Now that this has become very public, once the sponsors realize that they're paying a lot of money for a logo on a slow player, and that slow player is never going to get shown on television, they're not going to get their money's worth, not because he isn't a star player, or doesn't have a great personality and all that. It's just he's not going to be shown on television because the TV producers can't take a chance of going to his group not knowing when he's actually going to play the shot. And all of this is now starting to come out really in the last couple weeks. And I think there will be some change because of this. The PGA Tour understands what a problem it is, and already they've announced they're examining their policy. And I think you're going to see some changes in the policy from the tour where they're actually – going to be penalizing players. You can fine players all you want, but when guys are making $20 million a year, a $5,000 fine really doesn't matter.
It's true. No, it really is. And, you know, listen, what DeChambeau did the other day, walked off 71 or 72 yards, I mean, that was ridiculous. But to be fair, and Mark, you know this, there's got to be a balance. I mean, at the local muni, that's one thing. If you're shooting a 97 and you fidget with your grip 13 times and you give 7 practice swings and you worm burn 131 yards, as we all do, that's unacceptable, utterly unacceptable. But when you are playing for money, when you're playing for your legacy, reinforcing this stuff, it is a little tricky. So the PGA Tour has seemingly been pretty proactive. They changed their calendar, all right, in flip. So yeah, football's here. Let's get the PGA up here. That'll be better sequentially. Is this implemented for the start of the 2020 season, or does this linger on?
I don't know. I think it's going to get solved pretty quickly. What we're going to see is some tremendous peer pressure from the other players, and we saw that about DeChambeau, right? Guys, you know, chiming in and really talking about how bad Bryson is when it comes to pace of play. And already, you know, right after the incident, Bryson doubled down. He tripled down. He said, you know what? I'm going to keep doing this. You know, I'm not slow. I'm faster than these other guys. I get to my ball faster, yada, yada. He has now changed his tune today, and he's basically saying, you're right, I've got to work on this. And it wasn't from pressure on social media, I don't think. It wasn't from pressure, you know, from the media in general or the public. It was the pressure from the other players. When your peers are singling you out as a problem, it's going to have an impact, and I think he's starting to see that, and I'll bet you see him try to pick it up a little bit.
Okay, final thing. We're talking to Mark Rolfing, NBC Sports, Medina. the BMW Championship coming up this weekend. In case you just tuned in, Tiger is going to give it a shot. He's going to play. We'll see how he does. Obviously, it's been a very inconsistent summer since the Masters, which was riveting. But it, just in terms of a characteristic of the course here, long hitter, short hitter, shot maker, putter, I mean, give us a few names that this course really ties into the skill set of. Who do you think is going to win?
It looks exactly like Rory McIlroy to me. And I was thinking about Rory this morning because, of course, the Europeans won that Ryder Cup in 2012 here. I have no idea how they did. But, you know, he woke up late on Sunday morning, almost missed his tee time, had to get an escort to get out here. He had a lot of good karma the last time he played here at Medina. The course is very long. You're going to have to hit the ball a mile. The fairways are pretty wide open. The rough is substantial, but not a huge issue. But the important thing here is these greens are not enormous, and they don't have a whole lot of undulation into them. They're a fairly easy set of greens to putt, and that's exactly what Rory McIlroy needs. So when it becomes a pure ball striker's course, he immediately becomes my favorite, and I think that's what Medina is going to be this week.
It's tough to argue. I mean, listen, if you could tee it up and let it rip 340 or 350 and have pretty benign greens, Rory McIlroy is going to be in the 60s quite a few times. I would imagine I'll probably put some money behind that as well. Good job, Mark. Appreciate it. And we'll see what Tiger has, and we'll go from there. Thank you very much, man.
All right. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.